Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, what's going on? It is Kevin Kenny. He is Joe. And we're sitting down for a little chat today in Los Angeles.
I don't know. Where's the cameras? There?
Yeah, I don't know. There. No one really knows where to look.
There.
Yeah. The surveillance state is very real in the studio.
That's kind of cool, honestly. It's like, you know, you can kind of just chat and think, forget about it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So you're here, obviously. End of Beginning is just going so crazy right now. And there's like, to me as a music lover and a lover of the song, there's like two main hooks to this record, right? That you take the Man of the City, the breakdown section, yeah. Then of course, When I'm Back in Chicago.
Yeah.
The construction of this song, does it begin with one of those lines, or is this a piece of music that you guys put together and then you put the lyrics to it?
I wrote the guitar chords, very basic chords, power chords throughout the whole song, and came up with the structure first, then came up with the melody of the chorus, and then I was driving around at home and kind of came up with that man, city man situation. And yeah, it kind of like came together in parts. It wasn't something that flowed all the way. I like to like kind of like create the instrumental track, take it home, and then kind of listen to it and walk around with it, and then fill it in, you know, with the meaning and stuff like that.
So when you put together that guitar part, were you already in that headspace of nostalgia, of sort of yearning, of sort of thinking of the past, of thinking of Chicago maybe, or no. Is that something that...
That came later, yeah.
Really?
That came later, yeah. It's generally like filling in the lyrics is later, after the music. I mean, I'll get like a notion of maybe what I would want it to be about, or the feeling that like the chords are kind of pulling from me, but generally I like to leave it really open so that I'm not trying to like put myself in a corner.
I mean, are there alternative lyrics throughout the creative process to this song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Was there another...
There was like a whole alternative melody, whole different verse section, whole different thing that I thought might be the way that ended up not being the way.
Do you remember any sort of filler lyrics for the Chicago line?
Oh, man. Wow, that's a great question. No, not off the top of my head, but I do remember the actual melody itself. Like there's two kind of melodies, like a harmony going on. So I wasn't really sure what the lead was, and it took kind of some, you know, figuring to sort of pull which one is what is the lead here. Kind of, it was like sort of a gang section, and kind of still is, but. I wish I could remember some of the lyrics, though. That'd be fun.
And so do you go to other members of your band? Do you go to other collaborators to land on, okay, this is the lyric? Or do you just know? Is it just a knowing?
I just kind of trust myself, I guess. It's mostly me and my good friend Adam Tyne who work on all this stuff. And, you know, we did this song with our good friend Teddy, who plays the drums on the record, and he was kind of he lives in Chicago, actually, still, so... I don't know. Maybe working with him on the song was a little part of what drew that out. But in terms of like knowing if something is right, I guess it's just sort of about like trusting your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to Jack Antonoff last week. He has a new record out, Bleachers.
Yeah, he does. It's great.
And we were just talking about, we were just geeking out on songwriting, which, you know, I could talk about all day.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he?
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. And we were talking about these misnomers of songwriting and modern songwriting and just how people, I think nowadays, especially in like writing sessions in LA, mm-hmm. they try to write a song that they feel, and they'll comb the lyrics. I've seen them do it in these rooms to make it about everybody, you know, and try to reach everybody. And then so often they reach no one with this song, right?
I could, yes.
And so you're here and you have this song that is so specific to you. I mean, you can't extrapolate your own yearning for the past, but it's about Chicago and it's relating to people around the world who have never even been to Chicago.
Yeah.
And do you think the magic is sort of telling a truthful, honest, vulnerable story, and it, like, that is what the listener is going to connect with?
Yeah, I think that's really astute. I think you nailed it. That's exactly what songwriting is. I think the more specific you can be, the better. And in a lot of art, the more you're trying to play to an audience, the more vague you are, the less, I don't know, real it feels, I guess. Because I think in the specificity of your own life, you feel that it's really only your experience, but the human experience is such a shared thing. And this has been a lesson to me in that. I didn't write this song necessarily to connect to a bunch of people. I wrote because this is the way that I felt, and this specific feeling of returning to a place where you kind of developed felt like something worth putting into music, and people connected with it. So audiences are smart, and I guess it's just like the power of a song when it's simple and kind of to the point.
Yeah. Is there any analogy or anything analogous to you as someone who has acted and you make music is between finding yourself in a role and then finding yourself, you know, in terms of how to play the role, how to sort of bend it to your own human experience, how you can lend yourself to that character the best, and then finding yourself within a song?
I think like it's always really cool to think about the perspective from which you're singing and allowing yourself to not necessarily be tied to your own point of view. Because as an actor, you kind of have to obviously relate to the character with a part of yourself, but it's really important to kind of let that, you're not this person, you're not the character, and kind of leave that at the door. And that can be kind of difficult. And so it has been a really fun lesson to me the past year of making new music, trying to do that. And some amazing artists that I love really do that. I feel like David Bowie does that. Paul McCartney, I feel like, is very free with his voice in the way that he has a sound, but he doesn't sound the same on a lot of songs. I remember as a young kid, I couldn't believe it was the same guy who sang Helter Skelter as it was the guy who sang Blackbird. It's like two different performances completely. And so freeing yourself from what you should sound like, or trying to be like, well, how's this all going to fit together? Life is eclectic, and I guess it should be reflected that same way in music.
Yeah. You ever listen to Stone Temple Pilots?
Not a lot, really.
You should, if you really love that sort of the range of vocal performance, if you listen, like, their first album's called Core, came out in 1992, and then they have a record that came out in 2000, a song called Sour Girls on it. I mean, if you listen to Core and then Sour Girl, the lead singer's name is Scott Weiland. He passed away a number of years ago, but you'll trip off that. I mean, you won't even believe that's the same guy. But
is
that's
that
kind of
cool?
Oh, it's like the best. Because it's almost like, again, I've never acted, but almost like doing whatever the role calls for, you know, and not like sort of like a fighting the last war, if you will, or, you know, playing the last role. It's like whatever the song calls for, that's sort of how you should vocally perform it.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. And I think there's an element of both where you can put the cart before the horse, where you're like, I've heard a song like this before and I know how a vocal like this should sort of sound. I've seen a movie like this and I know kind of like the tropes of what it means to play a downtrodden cop. You know what I mean? I know that trope. But what is it really, you know what I mean? But kind of trying to put that aside. And yeah, I don't know. That's a fun challenge.
Well, that's like a natural journey, I think, for any creative. I mean, even as a radio jock, right? You hear people on the radio, you go, okay. And then you look back and you go, oh, my first year on the air, I'm just like imitating whoever.
I feel that way, though. I mean, I feel that way in a lot of like the stuff that I've done. I mean, all my music, I can see, oh, yep, that was me trying to be Rush.
Yeah.
That was me trying to be, you know, Led Zeppelin or whatever. And the same thing with acting. But I also think that that's really, like, important in finding your own voice, is to emulate the people who you think do it well. And there's no shame in that also.
Oh, yeah. You know who made me feel a lot better about that is, of all people, Garth Brooks.
Really?
I went to Garth Brooks's Vegas show.
Oh, that's cool.
And anyone watching this that has been to this show, all he does is he just kind of, in a very, you know, sort of endearing, you know, everyman Garth Brooks kind of way, he just goes through his biggest songs, but before it, he sort of prefaces it with the song he's ripping off.
That's
and it's kind of cool.
That's amazing. Chris Martin, I think, did that with Yellow. He was like, we wanted this to be a Neil Young song.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, when you say it like that, I can totally see why. But see, that the through the filter of who you are, or who you are, or who I am, it's gonna have your own flavor on it, you know, regardless of the influence. I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just want to talk to you about the topic of nostalgia, right? And what this big hit that's on the radio right now, End of Beginning, is sort of examining, and just your opinion on nostalgia. And I just find it very fascinating, because I think we as people, right, we think we revere these good times, these comfortable times. And then when you really unpack it, I think what we do long for are these moments in our lives of great movement where a lot is happening. You know, it almost feels like, and even if you don't have a lot of means in that moment, it's like the first time you get a gig, or the first time, you know, you put out a record. And I don't know if that's what was going on, you know, during your college years in Chicago. But I think that's sort of the misnomer with all of this. And when I listen to a song, I think about that, you know, because you don't have to have great means for you to have this beautiful memory in your life. It's really just about these moments of great movement, mm-hmm. where a lot's happening.
Mm. And familiarity, I guess, kind of not knowing, not appreciating the moment while you're in it. Like that's kind of the flip side, I guess, of the nostalgia of this song, is you're looking back at a time, really the song is kind of sung from the perspective of me visiting Chicago after this kind of period in my life. And so, yeah, I guess it's about looking to the past and appreciating all these amazing things that happened, and kind of longing for it, and longing for the person that I was, and kind of feeling like you have no idea what's around the corner for you, kid, speaking to yourself. But then also, you know, it's like that movie Midnight in Paris. Like Owen Wilson's character in that movie is like, oh man, I wish that I could go and live in the 50s or whatever. And then he goes back and he has this amazing time and lives in the 50s. And then he meets the Cotillard character, who is, I wish that I lived in the 20s. And so you're always kind of wishing for a different time. And I think the root of, you know, that problem or the solution is to appreciate the time that you're in and that you're living right now. So rather than me being like, man, I really miss Chicago, I should really just be appreciating the fact that this song is doing well. And like, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with nostalgia. It is a funny thing. I mean, Stranger Things is like all nostalgia. That whole show is so nostalgia based. And it is like, I think it brings people a level of comfort. And I guess it's comfortable to like look back at. That's why people like looking at pictures, like looking at their home movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the certainty.
Yeah, it's the
certainty.
You know,
we love certainty.
We know what happened.
We know everything worked out.
Yes. You
know?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout,
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now
we're here now.
I was talking to Matty Healy one time. All these anecdotes are coming to mind, Joe. I was asking him if he enjoyed playing at Madison Square Garden for the first time.
Yeah.
And he, this is years ago, and it really struck me his answer. And he was like, well, you know, in the moment, I was just focused on doing a good job. I wasn't really appreciating in the moment. And I think that's like another misnomer with nostalgia and just appreciating the present, as you were just saying, is like, it's really hard, almost impossible. And might not even be the point to appreciate the present. It's like sort of immersing yourself in the present, but you can't really appreciate things. Like you can't appreciate, I would imagine, Chicago in that time in your life until now. And you get to look back. You know, it's almost like, that's kind of what Maddie was saying, is like, it's like those moments are for enjoying 4 years as opposed to just that moment.
Yeah, the perspective of, you know, all the other compounding things in my life that have happened that make that look the way that it does. Mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't have those other experiences that made it kind of shine in that light. But now I do look back on it, it's like it's a more innocent time, I guess. It is funny though. It's really hard. I mean, that's just like the crux of life. How do you like live in the present and be happy?
Yeah.
And that's the root of the majority of the issues, I think, with most people in their lives, and probably, you know, all over the world, not just a singular issue, although I think in this country for sure, just, you know, being happy with what we have. That's really an exercise in, I don't know. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. Everybody wants more. Everybody's so ambitious, which is good. It's a balance.
Yeah. Well, it's probably also, I mean, that conundrum we're talking about is why this song is speaking so deeply to so many people, you know? I'm sure you've seen just the litany of social posts and TikToks made of the song. Do you have a favorite or one that sticks out to you?
I've been made, I've been shown, we've been talking about them. I think it's cool. A lot of people were kind of giving Chicago some love. I think that Chicago's a great city and deserves it. And it's like, for me, it was a place that fostered my young artistic career, especially musically, but also in the acting scene as well. That's where I got my start and did commercials and whatnot. So I really love that. I also, Nick was telling me that there's a, there's one with like Zillow where people look at their childhood houses and then like picture, like videos of them, and then how it looks listed on Zillow, which I think is kind of a fun one. It's taken on a life of its own. It's really cool. And it seems to mostly be connected with things that people feel emotionally connected to.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was so fascinated by the chord progression. If you were there, because I mean, even if you just listen to the instrumental of the song, you know, that's kind of where it takes you.
I kind of was just literally like, let's make the most basic song ever, actually, because the rest of the album was really kind of jam packed. And every moment I was like trying to stuff with as many pieces of candy, all this little. And so for this, I was kind of I was like, let's do verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, done. And then do a simple song. And not try to overcook it, and it's funny sometimes when you get out of your own way and just write something that's like not basic, but simple. Simple speaks to people.
You know, Free Fallin' by Tom Petty?
Yeah.
That was like a bet between him and the guy from Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah.
His name's
Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne. Wow. Yeah. Shame on me.
No.
But that was like a bet between them of like, can you write, I forget if it was like, you know, restricting the chord, the amount of chords in the song or what, or the amount of words, whatever. But he wrote Free Fallin' as a gag, as like the most basic song of all time.
And there we go.
You know, so you're onto something. You got the LA Lakers hat on.
Yeah.
Are you a Chicago sports fan?
Well, I am sad that you brought that up. All my Boston family will kill me, but this is just, you know, this is what I have today. I grew up in the golden age of Boston sports, so truly I'm a Boston sports fan, but I also got to go to college and lived in Chicago when the Cubbies won. I think the Blackhawks won when I was there. So, I mean, I've gotten some really good luck.
I think the Bears would like you to move back, it sounds like.
The Bears need help.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion? Are you a big football fan?
You know, I'm kind of a fair weather fan, but I you know, I watch from here.
Well, we got Caleb Williams here at USC, and apparently he's going to supposed to be going to the Bears.
That's above my pay grade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to get a sports segment out of Joe.
No.
Well, before we let you go, yeah. I know you're already working on, I mean, that's what's funny. We haven't even touched on this, but the record actually came out in 2022.
Yeah,
And now it's like catching fire. Is that weird ever? Like, you put it out and you probably think it's great. And then you put it out on the internet and you want everyone to know how great it is. And it takes a while sometimes.
Yeah. It's just the way that it works though. I guess that's sort of what I had hoped, or I guess... This is the best possible situation that I could have hoped for. I've always just sort of wanted to do the music because I like to do it. I put it out and, you know, the thing that really made it catch is people's involvement in it, you know, and fans spreading it around. And for me, I love, that's so much better than having some label try to just shove it down people's throats. It feels much more natural and,
yeah,
I'm happy for that.
Definitely. And then, so you're already working on a lot of the new material, mm-hmm. and I forget what article I was reading, but I've heard that it sounds a lot different than End of Beginning.
Well, End of Beginning, like I said, was this exercise, and also it was the only song from that was done completely in the studio from start to finish, and not kind of like tracked elsewhere or at home. And so that was done at the end of that process. And so kind of going to this new process, I thought I would try to emulate that, where I try to write a full song and then bring it in and just finish the song. So, it's been sort of an exercise in trying to record in a more similar way to how the artists from the past that I admire would do it. Kind of like you were talking about with Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne, just having a song and executing it rather than maybe getting... the interface of working through a computer sometimes, it's an amazing tool, but also can kind of be a hindrance and slow things down. And I think sometimes working with speed is your best friend, trying to get this thing. You want to streamline the process and set it up so that nothing is maybe slowing you down and getting in the way between the ideas and getting them down. Because once it starts flowing, you don't want to, you know, be in a situation where, this plugin isn't working. And the computer, you know, I have had that. And I was just trying to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah. Because all you and the technology is, right? It's a vehicle for this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as fast as we can get this idea out, the better.
The faster we can get the idea out, the better.
Yeah. Well, dude, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Such good questions. And thanks for talking with me.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.